If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Luke, chapter 7. This is going to seem extremely familiar, at least we'll begin to read this morning. Luke, chapter 7. And verse 36. Luke 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he, to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now, I realized that I read from this passage of Scripture last Sunday night. And I want to try to take an entirely different line of thought and try to be a blessing to us this Sunday morning. You know, one of the Pharisees, this Pharisee, desired that Jesus would come and eat with him. Now, let's stop right there. That sounds good. You've got a man, he's a very religious man, a Pharisee. You know, at least his religion was all about show, outward show. And yet, he's desiring to get close to the Lord, it would seem. He invites him to come eat. Come to my house. I'm going to throw a shindig. I'm going to throw a party. I'm going to invite everyone. And I want you to come to be a guest at my home. Now, that sounds good. We tell people all the time, you need to draw close to the Lord. You need to talk to the Lord. You need to go sit down with the Lord. That's even the message we tried to get across last week. That we need to get at the feet of the Lord. That's where we need to find ourselves, to be at the feet of the Lord. And yet, on the surface, all this sounds good. It looks like he said, I want to commune with Jesus. But not everyone has good intentions with Jesus. And so this morning, that's the burden of my heart. Not everyone has good intentions with Jesus. You think about a warning that the Lord gave to the church. He said, I know where Satan's seat is. You ever thought about that? That Satan has a seat in the church and possibly right here? He could use you if you let him. He used Peter, didn't he? Peter had a weak moment and Satan took advantage of it. Satan can take advantage of us. And so the Lord gives us warning about that. And so not everyone has good intentions with Jesus. Some use him to build their own status. Jesus is at this moment, you know, here as he would walk on earth, he was a very popular man. Some of that popularity was hate, and some of it, people loved him, and some were just curious, but let all that be as it may, there's a lot of people that, I just use Trump for instance. There's a lot of people hate Trump. There's a lot of people that love him. But one thing we cannot deny, and that is he is a popular man and a popular subject. Jesus, a lot like that, he was a popular man. Some hated him, some loved him, but he was popular. He had multitudes of people that were around him most of the time, unless he would send them away or unless he would slip off. He had throngs of people around him. And so he's a very popular man. And I believe this Pharisee, Simon, not Simon Peter, but Simon the Pharisee, I believe he looked at this as an opportunity that I can play both sides. I can kind of play both sides of this, and I can let the multitude see that I'm trying. I can let the multitude see that I invited this man into my home. And so, you know, as he would come in, the multitude would come. They would see kind of how rich I am and how I do things. And they would see kind of how I fare in life. And boy, this would play out real good. I can keep him at arm's length. And we see that by the explanation Jesus gives. And look, you kept me at arm's length. I come into your house. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't have a servant come, and obviously he probably had plenty of those. You didn't have a servant come and wash my feet. You didn't wash my feet. But this woman has with tears. You didn't anoint me, didn't anoint my head. So that was customary. When you invited someone that you thought a lot of, you would anoint his head with oil. And you didn't do that. This woman anointed my feet. And so we can kind of see that by what Jesus says, you kept me at arm's length. I come into your house. But you don't really desire to get close to me. You didn't desire to make me feel comfortable. You kept me at arm's length. And so you can see the intentions is that this man is playing both sides. He's using Jesus for his advantage. Maybe the Pharisee thought, well, I tell you what, when he leaves, we can kind of pick him apart. I'll bring him to the house and we'll kind of get to know him a little bit. And when he leaves, we can figure out how to destroy him. Pharisees were always trying to destroy Jesus, trying to tear him down, trying to figure out a way to trip him up. Maybe he felt like even as I bring him, I could say something that might humiliate him right here and we could expose him. But whatever might be going through his mind, we certainly see that he's using Jesus to gain worldly fame. So listen at verse 40 again. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Now we already know his thoughts. This man's no prophet. If he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is, what manner, who she is, and what manner of woman this is. So we know his thoughts, but his answer, oh, master, say on. You're talking about two-faced. Stab you in the back one minute and, you know, smile at you the next. And so, say on. Even in that answer, you can almost see the pride that he's swelling up with. Oh, master, say on. This is what I believe, and it may not be the case, but I believe he probably felt like Jesus is going to thank me for this big showing. He's going to thank me for this big spread, the food or something. He's going to commend me for a good job. Well done, Simon. You've done good putting on this big party. He's going to thank me for the invitation, and he'll do that in front of all these fine people, and that'll just make me that much more popular. He's going to brag about me in some form or fashion. So I'm sure he's kind of bursting with pride, waiting for Jesus just to praise him. Tell him, how good he is. Oh, you're such a fine religious fellow. Oh, you're really doing it good. You're really putting forth a great effort here. But see, the Pharisee was wrong. Jesus did know his thoughts and intents. Jesus did know what manner this woman was. He even said so. She is a sinner and her sins are great. He knew that. He didn't sweep that under the rug, Brother Matt. He didn't, you know, pretend like there was nothing going on with her. He said, yes, her sins are many. I know that. See, the Pharisee was not counting on Jesus really being Jesus. And Jesus really knowing the thoughts and intents of his heart. And so he says, I have somewhat to say unto thee, Master, say on, bring it on. I know I'm all that in a bag of chips. And Jesus lets you know, Simon, I see through your charades. I see through it. You're putting on an outward show, but I know your heart. Listen to this. He didn't say it in these words, but this is exactly what Jesus told him. You are a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You say one thing, but you do another. You act like you've got good intentions, but your intentions are evil. And you have so much pride. You're a hypocrite. Much like Judas, you know, we all know how Judas was. He had a devil from the beginning. Sometimes, you know, there's people that kind of sell out to do the work of the devil. And Judas did. And Simon's much like him in that he's covering his evil intent with a kiss. You know, Jesus even asked Judas, didn't he? He said, betrayest thou me with a kiss? Really? You're going to stoop that low? Neither one of them really understood. This is the Lord. You can't get anything over on him. You can't pretend and get by the Lord. You might pretend and get by everybody else, but you can't pretend and get by the Lord. And so I want to turn that statement toward us this morning and let the Holy Spirit kind of just work on each one of our hearts as he will. I'll ask you, does Jesus see any hidden intent in your heart, in your actions? Brad O'Neill, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Branson O'Neill, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Ross Smith, I have somewhat to say unto thee. You ladies, each individual one, you men, each one of us, even you boys, you girls, I have somewhat to say unto thee. You're here, maybe the Lord looks at you, you're here this morning, but I see what's really going on in your heart. You're putting on a good show for all these people. And it's sad in a lot of places, and I'm certainly not pointing a finger here at Clear Branch, and yet I don't know everybody's heart as well, but it seems like that people that are very religious today, that they're many times just putting on a show. Just going through the motions. And so, maybe that's someone here. You're putting on a good show for all these people. But here's Jesus, and he says, but I know you. I know what's going on at home. I know what's going on behind closed doors. I know what you're involved in. I know what your heart really looks like. I know maybe that there's someone here that you've been baptized, but Lord, looking at your heart now, but I know that you are lost. You're a member of the church, but I know you're lost. I know that. See, as your pastor, that's not me. I don't have that gift. I can't look into the heart and know what's really going on. I can't look into you and see your intent, but the Lord can. And He still does. And though a lot of things have changed over the last years of our lives, and we've seen lots and lots of things that's just different, there's one thing still remains the same, and that we still serve the same God. He still knows us the way He always has known us, and we're not covering anything up. So, maybe the Lord looks at you. I know that your church conduct and your world conduct just simply don't match up. Wouldn't that be a hypocrite? If we're good Christians at church, but we get in the world, we live like the world does. Maybe he looks and he says, I know that you treat me as a friend here, but outside this place, you act like I don't even know you. One of the deepest scars I ever received in my life, and yet I thought about the good Sunday school lesson this morning. Sometimes those things that hurt us really help us in the end. And it did. The Lord knew what I needed, but let me tell you how He used a very evil thing that went on. When I first started preaching, you talk about a young man, just I was too shy to be in the pulpit. I was so nervous that I felt like I was going to pass out about every time I stood up there. And by the grace of God, I was able to stand and deliver a message, but everybody that knew me knew I was, you know, just as nervous as I could be, about to pass out. Sometimes I let my nerves get the best of me, and I wasn't trusting the Lord like I should. But I was driving back and forth to Carmel. That's in Natchez. One of our churches in Natchez. And as I drove back and forth over there, I was just I had 202 miles to drive, so I had plenty of time to think. Plenty of time I'd listen to them cassette tapes. And it just so happened that there was a radio station when I come through Brookhaven. I could pick up one of our preachers and I could hear that message being preached. And I look forward to that every morning. I almost consider, hey, that's going to be my pastor. I'm going to drive that. I'll listen to him preach and boy, I'll get something out of that. And I'd listen to him and I just like a sponge. I was soaking it up. Of course, I was truly seeking the Lord. I knew that who I am, and boy, if I don't have the Lord, I'm going to fail, and so I need the Lord. And I was listening, and I'd hear that, and I thought, man. And I'll be honest, I envied him a little bit. A young preacher, I thought, he's not much older than me. And he has got such an ability, such a presence, such a deliverance. I just love to hear him preach, and I listened to that. And then I found out the man had been having an affair for years. That just shattered me. And I thought, my goodness, how could that happen? This man is preaching what seemed like with great power, preaching in a way that I felt so inspired by it. And look, maybe I looked at it and I thought, you know, a little too much of him. And God knew that. You put your faith in man, that'll let you down. We're kind of wired that way. And that's so that God gets all the glory. He's always going to get the glory. But I listened over a year, just in awe of his ability, and all of a sudden, this come out. And I thought, well, men hear one thing, and God knows something totally different. Could God still use those messages? I think He did. I think He did. There were some great messages and they were a blessing in my heart. But God knew something about Him that I didn't know. And God knows something about all of us that maybe others do not know about. And we need to understand that. And we need to deal with it. Don't just continue on hiding something just because everybody else may not know about it. God sees it. God understands us. He knows us. He knows everything about us. And so, here's Jesus once again. Let me ask you the question, or rather just kind of lay it out to you. I have somewhat to say unto thee. I have somewhat to say unto thee. I know you like nobody else does. Turn with me to Matthew 23. Verse 24. Matthew 23:24. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So that's pretty pointed words that the Lord had for men. He didn't pull any punches, did he? The Lord didn't have any tolerance for someone that was a hypocrite. He had a lot more compassion upon a harlot. Much more compassion upon someone that was overtaken and possessed with devils. But someone that was pretending, Lord didn't have much tolerance for them. Ye hypocrites, you're whited sepulchres. On the outside you look good, but on the inside you're full of corruption. You're full of dead men's bones. This morning, I know that we don't like messages like this. Because there's always something, you know, we're human, and so there's always something that I'm not quite where I need to be. I haven't made 100 yet, and so I'm still striving. And I realize that. I want to encourage you, God sees whenever our intent is to be more like Him, to draw close to Him, to be a greater Christian, and we're trying to live our life to inspire others and trying to live our life to be a witness to others. And so we mess up from time to time, and the Lord sees that. But there's some that are even saved that are living their lives in a way that they know better. You know better. If that's you, you know better than to be doing what you're doing, and yet you will continue to do it, and the Lord has somewhat to say unto you. Don't be a whited sepulcher. Don't just look real good on the outside, but on the inside you're full of corruption. And I know in a large way he's speaking to the lost here. Is there anyone here this rings true for? I have somewhat to say unto you. Everyone sees a Norman Rockwell painting when they look at you, except Jesus. They say something that's hideous. It's horrible. He sees the inside of your heart, and he's not impressed. On the inside, maybe you're lost this morning. And you come to this place and you cover it up with a smile. You cover it up with church membership. Oh, I've been baptized, preacher. I want to tell you something. If you're lost, the Lord knows that you're lost. And the Lord loves you enough that He let Jesus die for you. And all the Lord wants is for you to trust Jesus. That's all. He wants you to trust Jesus and then turn and live your life for Him. Brother Brad, I've been baptized. We'll tell you. You may have everybody in the world convinced that you're saved and going to heaven. But if you have never trusted Jesus, that's not true. It's not the case. What good is it going to do you? What good does it do anybody else to cover it up? Let yourself be exposed this morning. What would be wrong with that? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not bulletproof. And neither are you. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. What good does it do to cover anything up? And when I say cover it up, I'm talking about covering it up before the Lord. Trying to pretend like everything's okay. The Lord looks at you, He might not see that Norman Rockwell. He might not see that Facebook wall. He's looking deeper than that. So we don't put all our failures out for everybody to see, do we? And there's a good reason for that. Don't start. You don't have to start posting everything on Facebook just to keep it honest. Just be honest with yourself this morning. Be honest with the Lord. On the inside, you're using Him for appearance sake. But on the outside, you appear to be sincere. Maybe to everybody else. On the inside, your heart is set on riches and prestige and earthly goals. And you're selling Him out to do it. That's the story of a lot of people today. Everything in the world is more important than Christ. I want to encourage us to listen to the somewhat that Jesus has to say to us. I don't know exactly what He's saying to you. I don't have to. So the Holy Spirit does His job perfectly. So I can bring this message and I may have threw out a few examples, but the Holy Spirit can take and pinpoint exactly what it is that needs to be exposed. And now you have to do something with it. You can ignore it, cover it up some more, or you can let the Lord help you get it right. We can respond accordingly. The Holy Spirit will convict us. If you're unsaved, please, please listen to me. This is most important. If you're unsaved, you need to surrender. Just drop the cover up, the charade. Just drop it. Let go. Be broken. It's okay to be broken. I was. Those are lost. Whenever they surrendered, God broke them to get them there. He let that happen. If you're unsaved, please surrender. Surrender your all. Just trust Jesus. He will save you. He's promised. And He's not covering anything up. He will save you. You trust Him. Ask for a sign.